complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us, that he may open up this portion of his word for the profit of our souls and our help in life's pathway. And as your attention by a prayerful attention by way of text to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, which we read, and particularly the beginning part of verse 10. Verse 10, chapter 22 of the Acts of the Apostles. "And I said, what shall I do, Lord?" The whole verse reads, "And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And I," that was Saul of Tarsus, "said, what shall I do, Lord?" Dear friends, there's many times in our earthly lives when we do not know what to do. Circumstances arise in a providential way, and also with the children of God, oh, there's troubles upon their soul, fiery trials, temptation, sorrows, distresses. And we say, Lord, what shall I do? What shall I do? You know, dear friends, it's a wonderful blessing if you're called to pray such a prayer as this. Lord, what shall I do? It's really a prayer asking that the Lord's will shall be done in you and for you. And dear friends, if the Lord's will is granted to a needy praying soul, it will be for their blessing and for the furtherance of the gospel, for the growth and the furtherance of the Lord's purpose upon this earth. To be subject to the Lord's will, I think, is something to be greatly valued. It's to know his hand is upon us, a gracious hand upon which we live, doth life and time and death command, and hath eternal joys to give. But dear friends, in the pathway of our lives, we seem to know not what to do so often, don't we? How shall I get out of this difficulty? How shall I get out of this trouble? How shall I manage this responsibility? But dear friends, there's something very deep what we should do, isn't there? What shall I do, Lord? There was that time when Jesus was upon this earth and he'd fed the 5,000, and they desired to take him as king. Not because they believed in him in any spiritual way, but because he had supplied their needs providentially with the bread and the fish, fed a multitude from such a few loaves and fishes. And they came to take him and make him a king, an earthly king. And Jesus spoke to them. He spoke to them concerning the providence of God when they queried him that Moses had given that manna in the wilderness to supply the needs of his people. And Jesus spoke to them solemnly. And they then said, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus says, "This is what thou shalt do. It is the work of God. Thou shalt believe on him whom he hath sent." Thou shalt do the work of God. To believe on Jesus whom he hath sent. Now, dear friends, that's a vital command which we should all take heed to. Believing views of Jesus. Lord, what shall I do? Look unto Jesus. As he says, "Look unto me. And be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth." Dear friends, then we need faith, don't we? And dear friends, when we come to obey any command of God, we need believing faith to trust in him. That is the way that we shall go. A word behind us which will say, "This is the way, walk ye in it." What shall I do, Lord? Believe on me and cast out fear. Oh, dear friends, that's to pour out our heart before him, isn't it? Tell him all the truth. We are sinners. Jesus goes on to speak there, doesn't he, of himself. The bread of heaven. The bread of heaven given for the life of the souls of sinners. "Except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, ye have no life in you." No matter what else we may do here upon this earth, good or bad. "Except ye eat the flesh, my flesh, and drink my blood, ye have no life in you." Oh, many there could only look at that in a physical sense, in their heads, their own understanding. This is a hard saying, who can believe and do it? And many walk no more with him. Peter says, "Thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom else can we go?" What shall I do, Lord? Believe on the Lord Jesus. Look to him. Confess all your sins. Repent. Turn about from all those sinful ways. Don't trust in yourself. All the Jews trusted in themselves for their own righteousness. They were to turn about from that. And believe in the Son of God, Jesus, who came to give his life, shed his blood, his body broken upon the cross for the forgiveness of sins. Oh, dear friend, the prayer, "What shall I do, Lord?" Pray. Give me Christ or else I die. I love that hymn, the first verse of it. We have Spirit of Truth, come down. Reveal the things of God. Oh, make to us salvation known and witness with the blood. Dear friends, it's fundamental, isn't it? It's vital if we're to have a hope of eternal life. Dear friends, I trust you sought the Lord in prayer in such a way as that. Out of the depths you've perhaps had to call. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. What shall I do, Lord? You know, the Lord caused Saul of Tarsus to pray this prayer. Lord, what shall I do? It wasn't Saul's own will, was it? It was the sudden appearing of God. Now, dear friends, some of you may have such an experience of that, the sudden appearance of God. You were continuing on in your own ways. Yes, even perhaps your religious ways. As Saul of Tarsus was a religious man. You're carrying on in the way you've been brought up. Saul was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. He knew the scriptures. But he knew nothing of the sin of his own heart. Until suddenly, God appeared. God appeared as he was going in that way he determined of himself to go to Damascus to obtain more of those of the Lord's people and bring them to Jerusalem for their punishment. Well, dear friends, what an appearing. Why persecutest thou me? This bright light from heaven shone. It brought Paul to the ground. He was in full of fear. Who art thou, Lord? Dear friends, he acknowledged whoever was speaking to him, who's shown this great light. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? If that Lord word there means someone who is much higher in esteem and value and authority than him, than oneself. He was humbled through this sudden appearing. And Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Whom thou persecutest. How was Saul persecuting Jesus? Well, Jesus had said, when upon this earth, hadn't he? As much as ye have done it to one of these, my little ones, ye have done it unto me. You know, Saul didn't give an answer, did he? Why persecutest thou me? His words were, what shall I do, Lord? What shall I do? What shall I do to deliver me from my sins, my transgressions, being worthy of condemnation before thee? What shall I do to restore my soul into a right frame before thee? What shall I do? But he couldn't do anything, could he? He was a guilty sinner. But the Lord said, go into Damascus, carrying on in the same way as you are going. And there it will be told you what you shall do. Not just what Paul would do himself, which he had been doing up till now. But it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And what was appointed for Saul was what he should suffer for Christ's sake. He did not know what that meant at the time, did he? Those words which were told to Ananias, who came to the house of Judas, where Saul was. He called him Brother Saul because of the Lord had spoken to Ananias, saying, he's a chosen vessel of mercy. And he was to be made willing in the day of the Lord's power. Lord, what shall I do? Now, dear friends, when he was in Damascus, he prayed. A different prayer, I'm sure. A very different prayer as a prayer of the Pharisee, what he was beforehand, where he was pleased with his own self and thank God he was not as others were. He was a guilty sinner. He needed mercy of God. He needed the evidence of it by those scales to fall from his eyes, which he had been blinded by that great light. He needed the mercy of God, firm and sure. And he'd seen a vision of Ananias coming and doing it, and Ananias came. And he knew it was the hand of God. Oh, and there in Damascus he began to preach, didn't he? That Jesus Christ was the Son of God. What shall I do, Lord? Do that which is appointed for you to do, sovereignly by me. Oh, dear friends, what a lesson there is that, isn't there? His will is not our will. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But it's a prayer that we need to pray. What shall I do, Lord? Oh, what a mercy the Lord has to call his people to cry this prayer. Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, suffering as he did throughout all his labours, came to Philippi, didn't he? Yes, he suffered there with Silas, many stripes put in the prison. Suddenly that earthquake. And all the doors were open and all their bonds were loosened. And the jailer came, saw the doors were open, thought all the prisoners had fled, and took a sword to kill himself rather than fall into the hand of the authorities who would punish him for letting the prisoners go. The sound of Paul's voice, "Do thyself no harm, we are all here." Dear friends, that suddenness of that earthquake, the suddenness of the sound of the voice of Paul, "Do thyself no harm," it brought him humbly, didn't it, falling down before Paul. "What must I do to be saved? What must I do? What must I do, Lord?" And the answer was given him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And how did he come to believe? The Apostle Paul preached unto him the word of God. And he became a sinner saved by grace. Oh, dear friends, these sudden arisings in the circumstances of guilty sinners, far off. Dear friends, do you know some of them? Dear friends, nothing is too hard for the Lord. He saves by his grace. He knoweth them that are his. And they shall come. Dear friends, we're to pray for it, aren't we? That the Lord will still work in these wondrous ways in this evil day. The Apostle Paul was called to preach the gospel. Not all are called to preach the gospel whom he appears unto, but everyone is blessed to whom the Lord appears and causes them to cry, "Lord, what shall I do? I'm a guilty sinner. I'm a wretch. Oh, there is no hope for me. But Christ hath blessings to impart. Grace to save from all one's fears. Oh, the love that fills his heart. Sinner, wipe away thy tears." Dear friends, this word, this question, "What shall I do, Lord?" It appears several times in the scripture under different circumstances. You know, we read in the Old Testament, perhaps we don't read of it very often, regarding Manoah's wife and Manoah. The angel appeared unto Manoah's wife and told her that she would conceive. She was barren. She will conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. The woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. He told me how I shall conceive and bear a son. He was to drink no wine nor strong drink. And dear friends, he had this glorious promise that you would have a child, one who would be used to the glory of God. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto me and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Teach us what we shall do. Lord, what shall we do? This angel suddenly appearing to Manoah's wife. Dear friends, what a circumstance, what an exercise it came to them. Why, they were living not expecting to have any children. But now they were. And it was to be a special child. It was to be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. They wanted the Lord's help. They wanted the Lord's guidance. Lord, teach us what we shall do. If there's any of you like that, the Lord has appeared and opened up to you perhaps a promise of a pathway in which you've got to walk in. A providential path. It's one you haven't walked in before, and it brings you into great fear. A change of your circumstances. And you've had this promise, there's still to be a going before you. There's still to be an opening up of it. It's still to come to pass. And you fear what it might mean. Well, Manoah prayed. Lord, teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. And he told them how what should be done. Oh yes, that child Samson grew a wild man, didn't he really? Very unused, but the Spirit of the Lord was within him. And he was used to separate Israel at that time from the power of the Philistines. Dear friends, whatever the Lord exercises us in it, to bring that prayer of exercise, Lord, what shall we do? Something we fear. Something which we expect coming to pass. A word from the Lord. A direction in the way we should go. Dear friends, commit it to the Lord for him to teach you what you shall do, how to conduct yourself in the fear of the Lord. And surely he will help you. He will provide for you. He will not leave you to your own self. Oh, Moses was like that, wasn't he? Not Moses at the call, yes, we could say Moses' call when God suddenly appeared unto Moses to lead the children out of Israel. Oh, he fought against it, didn't he? But the Lord constrained him. He said he would send his brother Aaron to help. and I will teach thee what thou shalt do. When they were coming out of Egypt, going towards the promised land, the same that occasion when the children of Israel were very rebellious, there came that time when they spoke of stoning Moses. Moses' prayer was these exact words, "Lord, what shall I do? They speak of stoning me." Dear friends, he knew where to take him. He's in a way where he prayed unto the Lord at the beginning, wasn't he? "Lord, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence." The Lord said, "My presence shall go with thee." The Lord was there. Oh, how vital it is, isn't it? In all aspects of our life, to know that the Lord is with us. We are in that way where we know his presence is with us. His watchful care and keeping is over us. Praying daily to guide us. And then when we come into these specific difficulties and troubles, threatenings, oh, this adversary of Moses, what rose up from the people, he could commit it unto the Lord, who was with him, who had promised to do all things for him. "Certainly I will be with thee." And dear friends, if the Lord is with us, then as the promise goes, we will not fear what man can do unto us. For he hath said, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." But we do need wisdom, don't we? We do need wisdom to know what to do. Dear friends, it's a good prayer. "What shall I do, Lord?" And then to hearken for his answer. To watch, to wait, how he will answer us. Oh, there's a word in the Proverbs. Be not hasty in your ways. If you're hasty in your ways, the thing that you do could turn round upon you. I thought I'd looked it up beforehand, but perhaps I looked at the wrong one. But be not hasty. When one rises against you, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof. Lest thou know not what to do. When you strive. Oh, Peter puts it like this, doesn't he? Concerning the Spirit of Christ. When he was reviled, he reviled not again, but committed it to him who judgeth righteously. Oh, dear friends, when we come into troubles with others, how easy it is to rebel, isn't it? To give as good as we are, as we get, as we say. To retaliate. But no, be not hasty. Commit it unto the Lord. He judges righteously. Oh, we're told to pray for our enemies. "Lord, what shall I do?" Pray for those enemies. Do good to those that are use you spitefully. Yea, love your enemies, says Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount. And dear friends, we can't do that by nature, can we? It's only through the help of the Spirit. "Lord, what thou wilt have me to do." Pray unto the Lord for his Spirit to rule your heart, govern you all your words and ways. Oh, we have it with many dear friends in the Scriptures. Oh, poor Jehoshaphat. When he was king, the whole nation had the enemy suddenly come upon them, didn't they? Suddenly an enemy, the Ethiopians and or was it the Ammonites? And they came up to fight against Jehoshaphat, against Israel. Jehoshaphat said, "Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. Our eyes are upon thee. He did know what to do. To commit it into the Lord. To commit it unto the Lord who is almighty. And dear friends, his prayer was not in vain, was it? The Lord showed him what he should do. He'd got to go out to the battle, yes. He hadn't got to sit back at home. He went out, but he went out in prayer and praise. The priests and the Levites went before praising God. And when they got to where the enemy was, they'd already fought against themselves. And all they had to do was gather the spoil. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Dear friends, your case, what you might have. What shall I do, Lord? He'll tell you what to do. Just watch and wait for his hand. Watch and wait for that word to be spoken. You say, oh, but sometimes it doesn't seem to answer what I shall do. The matter is urgent. There's a time scale on it. Something's got to be done. It's got to be answered. What do you do then? What shall I do, Lord? I will go in the way that seems right in thy fear, in accordance with his word, not to go deliberately in a sinful way, but to go forward in the fear of the Lord, praying that if it's the wrong way, the Lord will shut it up. And if he does not shut it up, dear friends, on the basis of your prayer and your going forward in the fear of the Lord, he will prosper your way. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Dear friends, it's very solemn, isn't it? Not to go forward in decisions without such a spirit as that. Jesus spoke of the one, that farmer, whose harvest time brought forth an abundance. He said, what shall I do? But he didn't say, what shall I do, Lord? He said to himself, what shall I do? His fields are brought forth plentifully. He says, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. Earthly wisdom, yes. But there was no fear of the Lord. There was no Lord in his prayer. What shall I do, Lord? This is what I will do. And he did pull down his barns. I suppose he began to store and to begin what he thought he would do. Thou hast goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, thou fool. He said, this is what I will do. But it was what God did was the thing what prevailed, wasn't it? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Oh, dear friends, let us commit all our way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, for him to bring to pass, which is for the good of our souls, the right way to keep us humbly dependent upon him, and to give him all the praise and all the glory and all the thanksgiving. As we find, he makes a way where there seemed to us at the beginning to be no way. Well, there seemed to be no way for Job, did there? But, dear friends, the end of Job was better than his beginning. Oh, we read also of Absalom, the son of David, when he came to usurp his father from the throne. When he came into Jerusalem, he said to Ahithophel, David's counsellor, what shall we do? Now we've come to this point and my father has fled. Give counsel, Ahithophel, what shall we do? Again, There was no Lord in his prayer, in his request, was there? He was seeking to the wisdom of man, and Ahithophel was one with great wisdom. Always said as if he spoke the counsel of God. And Ahithophel gave the counsel, but Ittai, whom the Lord had provided for David to send back to overturn the counsel of Ahithophel, through the Lord's goodness and mercy he prevailed. And they did not obey the counsel of Ahithophel. And he went and took his own life. And Absalom didn't gain the victory, did he? Oh, dear friends, these examples, these evidences in Scripture of when we go our own way, a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Oh, dear friends, may the Lord, even when circumstances suddenly come upon us, unexpected things, to commit it unto him and to trust in the Lord, pour out our hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. It just comes through a few psalms, isn't there, which David in his kingship prayed unto the Lord. Oh, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Oh, in that Psalm 27, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. What shall I do, Lord? Teach me. Now, dear friends, David was one who in Psalm 32 speaks, now the Lord's hand was heavy upon him, and he brought him to confess his sins. And the Lord forgave him his sins. There's the foundation again, isn't it? And the promise the Lord gave to him in that psalm. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Just perhaps one more, I think it's a Psalm 143, reading the other day. Dear friends, how they fit in with our experiences of in our own lives, don't they? Of dependence upon the Lord. The enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Cause me to hear. Cause me to know. Dear friends, that's to be led in the way everlasting, isn't it? As David said in another psalm, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. What shall I do, Lord? What shall I do? Well, dear friends, Paul, to go forth in the obedience of the Lord, he was to be used in the building up of the church, wasn't he? Yes, and it was said to him, what hinderest thee? Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Dear friends, Saul was to give the evidence of his sins were laid upon Christ, his mercy, the Lord's mercy upon him, buried with him in baptism, buried with his sins laid upon Christ, raised again to newness of life, Old things passed away. He wasn't the Saul, the same Saul again, ever again, was he? He walked in this newness of life. Lord, what shall I do? Obey the Lord's voice. All his will esteem. Oh, dear friends, we're often tempted to lay aside things, aren't we? As if it isn't really necessary or vital. But it was for the building up of the church. It was for the building up of the church of Christ in that day. Oh, may the Lord constrain many. Suddenly appear in a particular way which is his sovereign to him. To cause us to cry, Lord, what shall I do? And the Lord's answer tells them what he is to do. To obey his voice, to obey his commands, to walk in his fear. Oh, and dear friends, that way of walking in his fear, the scripture says it's the way of joy and rejoicing, the Lord's blessing upon your soul. And there's no greater joy than to know the Lord's presence with you, the blessing of his saving grace upon you and within you, that you're one of the Lord's. He is thine, and it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Dear friends, this comes by obedience to the word of God. What shall I do, Lord? Arise, go into Damascus. There it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. Oh, may there be these appointments, dear friends, that are laid before us. And the Lord gives us the wisdom to know his will and the strength to do it. Lord, what shall I do? Amen.